Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
It's at the time of the morning, where we join our very own member of parliament, Ahmad Mansoor, Sheikh Imam Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. This is a very exhausted, beautiful day in the city of.
But Ahmed, what's the latest on politics?
Well, indeed, you know, we are still busy with all our budget votes. And of course, you know, the sessions are very dramatic, I must be honest with you. But I had the opportunity of attending the Nakhba in Lodium yesterday, very well attended. A great response from the community there. And, you know, some resolutions were taken on the way forward, particularly on the Palestinian cause and in solidarity with the people of Palestine. Some of the resolutions that were taken, of course, something that we've already raised, and that is the issue of Palestinians coming into South Africa requiring a visa, while their counterparts from Israel do not need one. And even if they do get a visa, the Palestinians, very stringent conditions. The other matter that was raised about the South Africans that are training in the Israeli army, which is a great risk to South Africa. The other issue that we discussed was the issue of the International Criminal Court and the stance, particularly by the U.S. and things on Putin, who's coming into, expected in South Africa. At the same time, there's been charges laid on the atrocities committed in Palestine in any event, and very little or nothing has been done. But these were just among some of the things. The issue of cholera is still a serious problem with over 20, I think it's about 24 now, children that have subsequently since died. Of course, there's all kinds of information unfolding as far as that is concerned. If you do know from the police perspective, a lot of money is now being allocated with some new programs that are put in place by the Minister of Police or the department itself to try and combat high levels of crime. There's been some breakthroughs, particularly with foreign nationals in South Africa. As far as drugs are concerned, there's been some arrests. We know that four Bulgarians have been massacred a couple of days ago, and that is because there is a kind of a turf war that is unfolding in the country, which has been going on for a long time. As far as ESCOM is concerned, nothing really new. I know we've gone to stage two, which is a good sign, but doesn't mean much. I think the important thing is that government has acknowledged that you must have coal. You cannot rely entirely on renewable energy to be able to deal with the challenges we face as far as energy supply in the country itself. Yeah, these are just some of the things that are making headlines. The coming week, we'll be debating, you know, Parliament's budget itself. Justice will be debated. Yeah, so the budget votes are basically, which is, we're having about six of them per day. Because we're going to go into recess shortly. Yeah, so these are just some of the things that, that's... but from a political perspective, I think parties, you can see, are all gearing up for elections, and that's why everything you hear or see now is going to be a fine sort of a campaigning. And, you know, when you campaign, you only attack, you only insult, you find faults. And that's... Well, the one good thing I must tell you, Brother Shafir, the one thing that really works in the country, really, really works, and the only thing I think that works, is Gautrain. It seems to be very effective, I must be honest with you. I've used its services to Pretoria and back for this march, and I promise you, on time, all the time, very reliable, can get you there in a jiffy, I think. So something does work.
Yes, absolutely. I'm glad to say something does work, and I hope our microphones are working now, because we did have the gremlins warning us this morning. You know, the load shedding is really running a racket with us. But as we talk about the politics around the world, and we look very deeply into Erdogan, we look at Turkey, we look at Pakistan, and, you know, very closely at how the Muslim world is, you know, panning out. What's your thoughts on that?
Yes, well, inshallah, our leader Erdogan will be successful today. Today is, I think, the decision and on who leads in Turkey. But very importantly, yes, I think Pakistan, another journalist has been is missing after the late one that was killed as well. So, you know, Pakistan is in a state of turmoil. There's no doubt about it. The good thing is that some of the Muslim countries appear to be coming together, you know, like Iran and Saudi Arabia and things, which is a good sign, although, you know, one needs to read between the lines as to what is really going on. But what I can tell you is that the West is, and I raised this actually on Thursday, because when I was debating, the DA and things were basically raising serious concerns about China's influence in Africa. And so my concerns were, which I raised with them, I said, you know, you seem to be having sleepless nights because China has come. But for centuries, the West, the USA, and many others have been looting the whole of Africa. And you think nothing of it. But suddenly, when Africa decides to share its wealth with China, you're having a problem. China is actually giving at the moment. It's not taking. The West has taken everything that we really have. And, you know, something very important we must remember here, in particularly in South African politics. You can't normalize the situation in South Africa if the negotiations that took place pre-1994 at CODESA, you know, resulting in just a handful of people benefiting, but the economy remained in the hands of the few. You know, whether you talk about anything, whether you talk about the wealth of this country, it's in the hands of the few. You talk about the natural resources, mining is in the hands of the few. The financial sector is in the hands of the few. The food sector is in the hands of the few. The automobile association is in the hands of the few. So everything is, the health sector is controlled by a few. And until you address all that, the issue of land restitution and things, you're not going to be able to deal decisively with the challenges. And that is why we find ourselves in a situation where the levels of poverty and inequality is on the rise. And I think people will eventually get fed up. Now, internationally, these people, the whole of Africa find itself in the situation that they do solely as a result of their own doing. You know, they've always played into the hands of the West, and they don't understand how the West applies the principle of policy of the divide and rule, and how they bait you into getting into debt and that kind of thing. So that's a problem. But there's also an uproar about South Africa and Russia and the ship that was here and the arms they are alleging that has been sent to Russia and whatever it is. Again, you know, my question is, when the West supplies to Ukraine and causes mayhem in Iraq, in Syria, in Sudan now as well, was one of the things that came up with the minister, deputy president, and the ACDP raised that question, and I deliberately decided that I want to do a supplementary on that question. I thought they were going to touch on Palestine, but they didn't. But I knew where they were going unless they changed their minds in the 11th hour. But what I tried to get out of the deputy president, who agreed but did not give us more information, is that there is third forces and outside forces that are interfering in the affairs of Sudan, which is resulting in the infighting in Sudan. Why? Sudan is very, very one of the richest African countries in minerals. Whether you talk about oil, whether you talk about gold, whether you talk about platinum, whether you talk about zinc, whether you talk about fertile land and water, Sudan has it all. So you can understand why there is havoc in Sudan.
Yes, Ahmad, making a lot of sense. And as you say, where there is gold, you know, America goes ballistic. It's like when a bull sees a red flag. Hey, it does, you know, it knows what to do. It just goes and attack and attack and attack. Well, Ahmad, also when we look around in our country, you know, I've been making this point that our Julius Malema is getting a lot of airtime with the BBC. Is he captured by the Western media?
Yeah, remember, they've got an agenda to destabilize South Africa. There's no doubt about it. And people like Malema, if you remember, a couple of years ago, he's been there. And he's received funding from them. In fact, he's been working with this Lord Renwick. So, you know, we must not be surprised if you listen to the stance that the EFF takes on many issues. You know, it will clearly indicate the reason why, you know, they take a certain stance. Like I raised this before on the issue of labor in the country and the exploitation of workers and the fact that businesses and factories and all are closing down because of imports from China. Question is, why would you do nothing about it? Why? Why would you go and just tackle some foreign-owned restaurants or restaurants received as foreign-owned workers? So they are very selective. It's exactly the same thing. But remember, they are doing this in anticipation that the ANC and the EFF will form a coalition government. So what is happening is the West now is coming closer to the EFF, thinking that, you know, if the ANC and the EFF works together, they will be in serious trouble unless they start cushioning themselves with the EFF. And so don't be surprised if EFF makes an about turn in terms of its policies and everything. Not that they have much to offer the country as such. But I can tell you that they are causing havoc within the organization. Some of their members of parliament have been removed, about four of them, without really giving them any reason to things. And I think they're going to court. There's something that they do often. So, yeah. So, yeah, we have I think the EFF my personal view, I think the EFF will lose support in the next election. They have not gained support since they have come in. If you've noticed, they've stagnated around that 10% or whatever it is. And I think they've reached their maximum. And they target a certain group, which is the youth. But there is a lot of breakaways from them as well. So I personally believe that they will lose about 2%. That's my estimation. In the next election, but they are working with the ANC. It can be disaster for South Africa, because remember, the EFF will put a lot of pressure onto the ANC, a lot of demands. That is why coalition governments in South Africa are actually collapsing. It's because of the demands that political parties are making.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.